Part 3. The Romans. Chapter 6.
Quid agitis?
Said the leader of the Roman battalion as they reached the group. The friends all looked at each other in confusion.
Pardon?
Replied the professor. The leader of the battalion looked directly at him.
Secus non tutum, monstra hic sunt, sunt ne liberi tui?
Joe realised what was going on.
They're speaking Latin,
he told the others.
That's the language the ancient Romans spoke. We learn about it in school.
Max started rummaging in his pocket, eventually pulling out a handful of small seeds.
These are called lingua worm eggs. They live on my planet. Put them in your ears. They will translate any known language. The Romans will be able to understand us as well.
In our ears?
Asked a concerned Lily.
Yes. Don't worry, it's very safe. They will hatch after about 3 weeks, and then the worm will crawl out. Until then, you'll be able to understand any language.
Joe thought this sounded like a disgusting thing to be voluntarily putting in their ears. But they didn't really have a choice.
So what are you doing?
Repeated the leader of the Roman battalion.
That's better. We can understand you now. Could you repeat everything you just said to us?
It's not safe. There are monsters here.
The professor looked at Max.
He must be talking about the Trudons. We're in the right place.
Are they your children?
Asked the Roman, gesturing at the twins.
Yes,
the professor replied quickly.
They are with us.
Without saying another word, the Roman legionary returned to his horse and led his group away, leaving Max, Joe, and the Robinsons alone in the middle of a field.
We are in roughly the same place that we were in the Cretaceous period. That means that Dardan's cave will be around here somewhere. It will be buried, but it will be here somewhere. We just need to find it before Dardan does.
The professor looked across the field at a nearby forest.
We need to find somewhere less public until we can figure out what to do. Let's head into that forest.
With everyone in agreement, they all headed into the woods, making their way deep into the thick undergrowth. After a while, Joe heard a sound.
Listen!
They all stopped in their tracks, and suddenly the ground beneath them gave way. A couple of seconds later, Joe stood up and looked around. The fall had winded him, but he was otherwise uninjured. He turned to check on the others, and once again he found that he couldn't believe what he was seeing. He was standing directly in front of Stonehenge. Slowly, the others, who had just about recovered from the fall, all stood up.
What's it doing here?
Asked the bewildered Joe. They had found themselves in a huge cavern, not Stonehenge's usual home. Max approached the enormous monument, studying it carefully as he walked around every stone.
This has not been transported through time, but it has been moved from its original site in Salisbury. Dardan must have already found the cave and transported Stonehenge here. Its mystical power, combined with the residual power of the Chicxulub impactor, might be enough to open another portal.
Lily looked excitedly at Max.
So we can get home?
I think so,
replied Max.
As long as we find the cave.
The relieved group started studying their surroundings more closely.
There's an entrance!
Exclaimed Patrick a few seconds later. There was indeed a large opening in front of them. It looked like it led to a cave system.
This must be Dardan's cave. Come on, let's have a look.
Together, they headed into the cave and walked towards the end of a long passage. As they reached the end of the passage, they once again found themselves in Dardan's cave.
It looks terrible,
said Joe, glancing around at the crumbling rocks and piles of debris.
Remember, that even though it feels like only an hour or so for us, this place has actually been buried for millions of years.
He approached the central console. Like the cave, it had also seen better days, but some of the lights were still blinking.
There was enough residual power left to transport Stonehenge here. and I think we'll be able to get home. But it needs repairing first.
The professor looked at Max.
Is it easy to figure out?
He studied the console.
I think I could fix this. I am an inventor, after all.
Great idea. We also need to find Dardan and the Trudon army. We can't leave them in Roman Britain.
Joe looked at Max, frowning.
Why don't we just wait here? They'll come back eventually.
The professor had immediately realised why this wasn't a good idea.
We can't let a dinosaur army go rampaging around the place. It's too dangerous. We need to find them as soon as possible.
Max agreed.
Why don't you and your family stay here and try and fix the console? Joe and I will look for Dardan.
But what will we do if we find them?
Asked an understandably scared Joe.
Honestly, I'm not sure yet.
Replied Max, shrugging.
I'm figuring this out as we go. Don't worry though, I won't let you come to any harm.
Max turned to the professor.
You'll need to hide if Dardan returns.
So, while the Robinson family stayed in the cave to repair the console, Max and Joe headed back out into the cavern.
There must be a way up. How did Dardan and the Trudons do it?
Joe pondered out loud. Max turned to look at Stonehenge again, noticing a steep uphill path just behind it.
I think I found a way up.
They started the steep walk up, and before too long, found themselves back in the forest.
Let's head into the town,
said Max. Joe nodded, trying to ignore the butterflies swarming around his stomach. Chapter 7. The screams could be heard for miles around.
Run! What are they? They're monsters!
Trudon army had just arrived in the small town of Venonis, and the population were understandably terrified. The people who lived in Roman times had never seen or even heard of such a thing as a dinosaur. The Trudons, however, weren't hurting anyone. They were just herding the townspeople into the centre of a park. As the park became more and more crowded, a battalion of Roman legionaries arrived, firing furiously at the Trudon army with their bows and arrows.
Charge!
Shouted the centurion of the battalion. In unison, the legionaries ran towards the Trudon army with their swords out, ready to attack. The Trudon army immediately turned away from the townspeople and towards the approaching legionaries.
Stop!
Said a voice from above. The townspeople and legionaries looked up to see a wolf-like creature floating on a hovering board.
My name is Dard,
he told his captive audience.
And these are my friends. We are not here to harm you. We just want to help you.
How can you help us?
Asked the centurion in his loud, booming voice. Dardan hovered gently down to the ground and landed directly in front of the centurion.
We have travelled through space and time,
he explained.
We are trying to capture a group of dangerous prisoners.
Why should we trust you?
Shouted one of the townspeople.
You look like a monster.
Dardan stared directly at the crowd.
Yes, I am sure we must look very unusual to you. But remember, you also look strange to us. To show you that we can be trusted, I will give you the gift of flight.
Suddenly, a small portal opened in the sky, out of which fell hundreds of hovering boards, just like the one Dardan was using. He had used the remainder of his organotech seeds to create these flying machines.
This is my gift to you,
he announced.
Just imagine how more powerful the Roman Empire will be with the power of flight. Your armies will be unbeatable, and the Empire will last for eternity.
The centurion looked down at the pile of hovering boards on the ground.
Stand on one,
said Dardan. Cautiously, the centurion stood on one of the boards and immediately started to hover in the air.
Lean forward to move. You won't fall off,
instructed Dardan. The centurion nervously leant forward and started moving through the air, laughing in delight. The board was easy to use, and before long, he was travelling around the centre of town at high speed.
How do I go higher?
He asked.
Stand on the button to your left, replied Darden.
The board started to gain height, and in a matter of seconds, the centurion was soaring high above the people and dinosaurs.
What do you want from us?
Shouted the centurion as he hovered over to Darden. Darden looked at the townspeople.
I want to be your leader.
Not too far now,
said Max, pointing at a sign stating that Venonis was 3 miles away. Picking up their pace a little, Max and Joe continued walking in the direction of the town.
We must hope that we've beaten Dardan and his army there. We need to warn them about him.
Joe nodded in response. The closer they got to Venonis, the more nervous he was becoming. The road into town was deserted. They hadn't come across anyone during their journey so far, and Max was starting to worry.
This is unusual. Let's stop and wait for a few minutes.
Joe's nerves were most definitely growing. He'd seen so much over the last few days, and while it had all been amazing, it had also been pretty frightening. He was starting to wish he'd never explored that unexploded bomb site. The path into town had been built right through the middle of the forest, and Max and Joe decided it would be safer to wait in the forest for a while, where they could hide behind trees and rocks if they needed to. Suddenly, they heard a loud whooshing sound from above, and they both looked up to see a Roman legionary hovering in the sky. He held something to his mouth, and the distinctive sound of a military trumpet blasted out into the air.
They're here!
Shouted the legionary. Before Max and Joe could get away, they found themselves surrounded by Roman legionaries.
Stay calm,
Max whispered to Joe as the soldiers walked up to them with ancient-looking handcuffs. Just moments later, the legionaries were marching into town with Max and Joe chained up as their prisoners. As they arrived in town, they noticed that the streets here were deserted too. They continued until they reached the park. The park was also eerily silent. Here, Max and Joe were unchained, placed in the centre of the park, and once again surrounded by legionaries. There was no chance of escape.
Where is everyone?
A scared Joe whispered to Max. The trumpet was heard once again, and all the Romans knelt down on the ground as the unmistakable whooshing sound of a hovering board sounded from above. Max, Joe, and all the kneeling legionaries looked up.
Good to see you again, Maxillon.
Darden hovered down to the ground, landing right in front of Max and Joe.
I see you've met my army.
Your army?
Yes,
replied Darden.
I've already explained to them that you are a dangerous escaped prisoner. They have agreed that, in return for your capture, I will provide technology that will ensure the Roman Empire lasts forever. They've also agreed to make me the leader of this town.
Max looked over at all the kneeling legionaries.
Let me speak to your leader. You've been lied to. Dardan is the criminal. He followed me here from my planet.
Legionaries did not respond. Instead, they just looked at Darden.
Your lies will not work here. Where are your other friends?
Max quickly responded.
They're not here. We left them in the Cretaceous period.
He's lying,
shouted one of the legionaries.
We saw him with his friends earlier today.
Darden looked at the legionary.
Thank you. What is your name?
The excited legionary quickly replied.
Verissimus.
Well, Verissimus, you will be rewarded,
Darden informed him.
Please all stand.
The kneeling legionaries all stood up as the unforgettable sound of the marching Trudan army could be heard approaching in the distance. Darden stared at the legionaries standing in front of him, before focusing on the one who had spoken.
Verissimus, you will lead my Trudon army.
In response, Verissimus bowed. As the marching grew louder, Max and Joe looked at each other. This hadn't exactly worked out as planned. The Trudon army marched into the park. Max noticed that the dinosaurs were all wearing saddles.
Verissimus, take your pick,
said Dardan. Verissimus looked at each of the Trudons in front of him and made his choice. Climbing onto the green dinosaur, he sat in the saddle and looked around. At Dardan's command, the other legionaries chose a Trudon each and saddled up.
I need you to transport these prisoners to Londinium,
ordered Dardan.
Yes, sir,
replied Verissimus. Joe's stomach dropped.
How's it going?
Asked Lily. The professor looked at the alien technology laid out in front of him.
Not too bad,
he replied. He was actually doing a very good job of making sense of the strange technology. He had already managed to reboot the main console, and it was showing him exactly where the Trudon army was. Now he was trying to figure out how to switch off the mind control software Dardan was using to control the Trudons.
We need to figure out how to send the Trudons back into the past before we switch off the mind control,
he told the rest of his family.
It would have been even worse to have wild and controlled dinosaurs rampaging around Roman Britain.
Mrs. Robinson looked at her husband, her eyebrows raised.
Well, why can't we control them? That way, we can make sure that they don't hurt anybody before we're able to send them back home.
The professor smiled at his wife.
What a great idea! Where's Patrick?
A moment later, Patrick appeared from one of the passages.
I'm here!
The professor explained what they were planning to do and asked Patrick to help him.
We need to find the wireless mechanism for the mind control software so that Dardan no longer has control. We should then be able to control the Trudons from here, at the console. What do you think?
Patrick grinned. He loved working on inventions with his dad, and this was the most important project they'd ever been involved in. Meanwhile, Lily and Mrs. Robinson were watching the console monitor. The Trudons were still nowhere near the cave. For the first time since being trapped in the Cretaceous period, the whole family was feeling a collective sense of hope.
I think this is going to work,
exclaimed Lily.
We'll finally be able to go home.
The professor nodded in agreement as he connected two circuits together. Outside the cave, Stonehenge started to shake. The mystical power of the monument was powering up the alien technology. Then the whole console started vibrating.
What's happening?
Asked Lily in alarm.
I'm not sure,
admitted the professor, frowning. As the vibrations started to subside, the console lit up. All the buttons were illuminated in either red, green or amber.
It's working!
Exclaimed an excited Patrick. One of the buttons was blinking, alternating between amber and green. Patrick felt himself drawn towards this blinking button, and before anyone could stop him, he reached out and pushed it.
No!
Shouted Lily, Mrs. Robinson and the professor all at once. Instantly, the cave began to tremble. This seemed like a very familiar feeling to the Robinson family, and before they could react, a portal opened directly in front of them. They immediately heard a loud roar. The portal had opened a pathway back to the Cretaceous period, and now a T-Rex was walking directly towards them.
The console memory must have opened a portal back to the last time period it was activated in,
suggested the professor, desperately trying to think. As the T-Rex got closer, the professor pressed the same button Patrick had pushed just moments earlier. The portal closed. Just as the dinosaur started roaring again.
We've done it,
said Patrick.
Max will be able to set the correct coordinates and we'll be able to get home.
The professor, however, was not quite as excited. He'd just noticed some movement on the monitor. The Trudons were heading back to the cave. Chapter 8.
They've managed to get my console working,
shouted an angry Dardan, realizing that Maxelon's friends were far more clever than he'd given them credit for. He ordered a battalion of Trudans and the Romans to get back to the cave.
They cannot be allowed to stop me. I must become the ruler of the earth.
He simply couldn't allow them to break his mind control of the Trudans. A short distance away, Max and Joe had been caged up in a cart and were now waiting for Verissimus to take them to Londinium. Though they hadn't heard what he'd said, they realised that something had upset Dardan and they suspected that the Robinsons had made progress in the cave.
Legionaries, let's go,
ordered Verissimus. A second later, the cart began to move. It was being pulled by two Trudans.
We need to get out of this cage. I've got an idea.
He reached down to his belt and pulled out a small, round device.
What's that?
Asked Joe.
Watch.
He pressed a button on the small device, and suddenly, the two Trudans who were pulling the cart stopped moving.
Hold on,
Max whispered to Joe. The two Trudans accelerated away from the rest of the soldiers, causing the cart to rock back and forth as their speed increased.
What's happening?
I've broken the link between Dardan and these two dinosaurs. It won't last long, but hopefully it will be long enough.
As the speed increased, the cart began to break up. The wood was cracking and splitting, and soon enough, Max and Joe fell through the bottom. The back wheels just missed them as the cart continued on its high-speed journey. They ran into the nearby woods, just in time to see the two Trudans stop running and begin walking back to the other soldiers.
Why didn't you do that before?
I couldn't. This device will only work once, and only on a couple of the dinosaurs.
He threw the device onto the ground.
What are we going to do?
Asked Mrs. Robinson.
I've got a plan,
replied the professor.
I'm going to send the Trudons back into the past. I just need to figure out how to change the destination time. I don't want to send them to the end of the Cretaceous period. I'll send them back 100 years earlier.
We also need to figure out how to break the mind control as well,
Patrick reminded him. Together, the professor and Patrick started frantically looking at the console for a way to change the date. The portal button was still blinking, ready for someone to press it. Instead, the professor pushed the button to the left of it. Lily, who had been looking at the monitor, noticed an option menu appear.
Look at this,
she said to her family. The monitor was now displaying a choose date option.
It's in English,
said Mrs. Robinson.
The worms in our ears must help us read languages as well as hear them.
By now, the sound of marching could be clearly heard in the distance.
They're coming!
Shouted a terrified Lily. The professor typed in a date during the Cretaceous period that was 100 years earlier than the time they'd been stuck there.
That's done,
he told the others.
So, now we need to break the mind control,
said Mrs. Robinson. The marching of the approaching army was getting louder and louder, and the professor was frantically looking for a way to stop the mind control of the Trudans, when, suddenly, Max and Joe ran into the cave.
Well done,
shouted Max as he approached the console.
We've managed to get ahead of the army.
Reaching out, he pressed 3 buttons together at the exact same moment that the army marched into the cave. The Trudans all threw the Romans off their backs, and as the Roman legionaries fell to the ground, the dinosaurs turned towards them and started to growl.
The mind control is broken. We need to get the Trudons into the portal and away from the Romans immediately. Otherwise, they'll eat them.
Max pushed another button before pressing the blinking portal button.
This portal is specifically programmed for the Trudons. It will automatically pull them towards it,
he explained. The cave began to shake and the portal opened. Within seconds, the Trudans had been pulled away from the terrified Roman legionaries and into the portal. It wasn't over yet, though, as the rest of the Trudan army were pulled into the cave and through the portal from all around the local area. The Roman legionaries, who had already been thrown from their saddles by the now free Trudans, watched in amazement as the strange monsters were picked up by an invisible force before disappearing into the distance. As the last Trudon vanished into the portal, Max pressed the blinking button again and the portal closed instantly.
They've gone,
said Max, as the Roman legionaries ran out of the cave.
Now I need to get you all home.
Joe looked at Max.
What about Dardan?
I need to get him back to Proxima Centauri B. Now that the console is fully operational, I might be able to get us both back there.
Max looked at the Robinson family.
Let's get you home first.
He typed 2nd of February 2021 into the console, which then appeared on the monitor in front of them. He then, once again, pressed the blinking button. The cave began to shake, and another portal opened.
This will get you back to the correct time, and we're only a few miles from where you first arrived in the past,
explained Max. The professor gathered his family together and smiled at Max and Joe.
Thank you for all your help. Please come visit us when you return to the future.
The rest of the family all said their goodbyes and then walked towards the portal, vanishing through it one by one. As soon as they'd all passed through, Max closed the portal, typed 10th of January 2022 into the console and pressed the blinking button.
It's time for you to go home too,
he said to Joe. Joe was reluctant to leave Max here on his own, but he was also desperate to get back home. Besides, he was confident that Max would be able to get back to his home now. The portal opened and Joe gave Max a hug.
Please keep in touch,
he told him.
Of course,
replied Max. Joe had just started walking towards the portal when suddenly it disappeared. Max looked at the console in horror. The screen was blank. Before Joe could ask what the problem was, they both heard a chilling but all too familiar howl. Oh! Dardan glided into the central cavern on his hovering board, flanked by a large battalion of Roman legionaries.
I'm afraid I can't let you leave.
Joe stood behind Max.
What are you going to do to us?
Dardan looked directly at Joe and laughed.
You will stay here as my prisoners forever.
Max stepped forward, staring angrily at Dardan as he shouted.
I won't let you keep Joe here. He needs to get home to his family. I'll stay.
Dardan stepped off his hovering board, walked past Max and Joe and approached the console. He typed in a code and the blinking portal light went dark.
There will be no more time-travelling today.
Max joined Dardan at the console.
What is your plan?
He asked him.
You wanted to invade the future and rule the world.
Dardan sighed.
Yes, well, you ruined that plan. You returned the pyramids back to the future, so I no longer have the power to transport a whole army. Stonehenge has some power, but nowhere near enough for my original plan. The pyramids do exist in this time, but I have already exhausted their mystical power.
So, what is your plan?
Asked Max, genuinely curious.
I am going to stay here for a few years,
Dardan explained.
I can easily rule this primitive earth. Then, once I have become a historical legend, I will travel back to the 21st century to be welcomed back as the ruler of Earth!
Suddenly, the Roman legionary started walking towards Joe.
Meet my new army,
said Dardan with a snarl. Clearly, the legionaries were now under Darden's control. When he pulled out a small remote control from his pocket and pressed a button, the legionaries pulled out their swords and pointed them at Joe and Max.
Come with us,
they all said in unison. Joe was getting scared again.
They're like zombies.
As the Romans continued marching towards Joe, the cave started to shake and vibrate again.
What's going on?
Shouted Dardan. Before he could say anything else, a portal opened in the cave. This one, however, was nothing to do with Max or Dardan. A familiar, squawking sound could be heard coming from the world beyond the portal. And then, to the surprise of everyone in the cave, four pterodactyls came flying out. And they were not alone. They were being ridden by people. A shout of...
Geronimo!
Could be heard just as one of the pterodactyls swooped down and grabbed Darden's mind control remote, crushing it in its beak.
No!
Shouted Darden. The legionaries, who were now free of Darden's mind control, immediately ran out of the cave. The pterodactyls landed and their human passengers disembarked. Max, Joe, and Darden could barely believe what they were seeing. It was an older Lily, Patrick, and their parents. This unexpected turn of events had distracted Darden, which Max quickly took advantage of. With the help of the professor, he had soon restrained him. The pterodactyl stepped forward, carefully watching over Darden, who had now found himself as Max's prisoner.
What's going on?
Lily and Patrick stepped forward. They were now 16 years old.
It's been 3 years since we saw you,
Lily explained.
Though it must seem like just a few minutes to you.
Joe nodded, speechless. The professor walked towards Joe.
When we arrived back in 2021, we realized immediately that there was something wrong. Stonehenge was still in this location, and Darden's supporters had been ruling the world since the Roman times.
Mrs. Robinson spoke next.
The history books showed that assisted human flight has existed since AD 143.
And at school, we learned that the final dinosaur sighting was in Britain during the Roman times.
How did you manage to get back here, to this time?
The professor responded.
I used the knowledge I gained from accidentally building my own time machine and from repairing the technology in this cave to help me create a portable time machine. It took me 3 years to build it, but it lets me open a portal to any time I want.
And the pterodactyls?
Asked Max.
In the future, all Darden's followers have mind-control devices.
The professor explained.
I found the instructions on the internet and developed my own. Then we went back to the Cretaceous period, snuck into Darden's cave, and freed all the pterodactyls he was controlling. We plan to send them back to a few years before the meteor crashes, once we've rescued you both.
Darden had listened carefully to this story, and he was pleased that his plan had worked. He still intended to make it happen, and he still had one card up his sleeve.
What's the plan, then?
I'm going to take Darden back to our planet, where he will be returned to prison. I've been stuck on Earth for too long now. I want to go home. Can you take Joe back to his time?
Of course.
When you return home, everything will be back to normal,
Max said with a smile. The positivity in the cave was suddenly interrupted by a loud whooshing sound. Darden looked up and grinned.
I'm here, sir,
said a voice from above. It was Verissimus, and he was leading an army of flying Roman legionaries. The legionaries quickly surrounded Max, Joe, and the Robinsons. However, Darden was still being guarded by the four pterodactyls.
How are you controlling these Romans? Your mind controller has been destroyed.
These legionaries are my loyal soldiers. I don't need to use Wolfian technology to control them,
replied Darden as he stood up. The four confused pterodactyls didn't know what to do. Amidst all the confusion, they were regaining their free will. After a few moments, they took off and flew down one of the passages. After eventually reaching the cave exit, they found themselves free to roam around Roman Britain. Darden was now free to get back to his control console. After running over, he flipped a switch on the main console and the portal light started blinking again.
You still don't have enough power to transport a whole army,
Max reminded him.
I don't need to,
Darden responded.
I'm not sending my army through.
Max frowned, confused.
Then what are you doing?
I've given your request some thought. I'm sending your friends back home.
By now, the Roman legionaries had completely filled the central cavern, and there was no way to escape. Landing in front of the professor, Verissimus searched him and found the mind controller and portable time machine. He confiscated them both, then passed them over to Dardan, who destroyed them.
You can return home, but without this technology. The future is yet to be written. It's very exciting. I hope you will all enjoy it.
What about Max?
Dardan had his own plans for Max.
Maxillon will be staying here with me,
he said as he pushed a button on the console. A bright strip of light appeared and shone directly onto Max. Then, to the complete horror of Joe and the Robinsons, Max immediately turned to stone.
Just one of my new inventions. It's quite good, isn't it?
Said Dardan, his face twisted into an ugly snarl. Verissimus joined Dardan at the central console, and Dardan gave him the honour of pushing the blinking portal button. The familiar vibrations began, and once again, the portal opened.
This will send you all back to your exact time zone. It will be as if you never left,
Dardan told them.
I expect things might be a little different to how you remember, though.
The Robinson family were picked up and pulled through the portal, which then closed. There was a bright flash and a second portal opened. Joe found himself being lifted off the ground before floating over to the portal, his eyes watering as he looked back at Max. As he entered the portal, he took one last look at his friend before a bright flash of light caused him to close his eyes.